But today, it's going to be Lise Avery and Uncle Floyd, because Uncle Floyd is here. I'm going to pot up his mic, and I'm going to let him do what he does so well and so knowledgeably. Good morning, Floyd. Thanks so much for coming in.
But why did you do this to me? You put three, all these Hoagy Carmichael songs.
It's his, his birthday.
Does anybody realize that he, how many hits? You never master music. You never become a master. I see here you have Jubilee, Louis Armstrong performing Jubilee. I didn't know Hoagy Carmichael wrote Jubilee.
Isn't it cool?
I mean, you never master music.
No. Nope.
We will never live long enough to hear, somebody told me once, even if you live to 95, you'll only hear at the most half of a, one of an iota of a percent of the music ever written.
And then nothing,
isn't that sad? You'll never hear it. It's impossible. It's too deep, and the more you get into it, the more you realize that you spend your whole life sitting. Just you constantly discover.
I agree with you. It's a frustration of mine, and books too.
Oh, I have to throw. Please. Oh, what am I doing? Oh, this way.
There you go.
Am I going?
There you go. That's what we want to hear.
This is just a dress rehearsal.
We want to hear. we want to hear every dulcet tone
with you.
Of Uncle Floyd. I'm so glad to see you,
because you are not a slave of the clock and calendar.
Well,
you play what you want, and beautiful music and things. And
they make me be a slave to the clock and the calendar. This is radio. However, I am not a slave to format.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yes,
to dig
I
up
do.
Things from Hoagy Carmichael and these wonderful artists. And Ethel Waters, you just played. Ethel Waters, I was telling you off to my, and it's true.
Tell
I knew
everybody.
Her granddaughter, Joan Waters, a dear friend of mine. She's an actress, and she looks like Ethel, believe it or not. She was from East Orange, New Jersey.
Wow.
But you never know who you're going to meet in this business. Ethel Waters was phenomenal.
Yes, she was.
Way ahead of her time. Never give, they always credit certain women with breaking the ice and breaking, she was way ahead of her time.
And had chutzpah.
And then she went to the religious vein towards the end. But what an artist. And I used to watch her television show, Beulah.
When was that on? I know
it was
happened.
On the early 1950s, but they re-ran it into the early 60s. She played a housemaid.
Wow. I have to dig that up.
Beulah. It's very rare to find that show. I guess the kids today find everything on the computer, but it was a big TV show, ABC, network show.
I remember it. Well, I have very little planned, except to let you know that Floyd is going to be performing live.
Excuse me.
Sir?
Uncle Floyd.
Uncle Floyd. I'm sorry. It's true. Uncle Floyd.
I just wanted to see your reaction.
Oh, when you're here, Floyd, your wish is my command. So tell me, Uncle Floyd, you're going to be doing a gig. Tell everybody.
With Pete Seeger and friends.
Pete Seeger.
What
heard
a lineup
that
they
name.
Have.
Heard that name. Yeah.
And it's going to be taking place at the Breslin Theater, which is on South Main Street in Lodi, the Felician College. It's a beautiful theater.
Now, they moved that, right?
Yeah. It was going to be in Rutherford, but because of the damage the theater suffered there in that past terrible hurricane, they moved it to this, which is the Breslin Theater at Felician College, which is a gorgeous theater.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've ever been inside.
I haven't.
Oh, it's beautiful.
You've been in every theater everywhere.
Not everyone, but quite a few. I played the Palace Theater in Bergenfield. That's the old Playhouse on the Mall.
Oh, man.
On Route 4.
Uh-huh.
Across the street from the Pincus Brothers, which was known as the Steak Pit. The three Pincus Brothers ran the Steak Pit, and business fell off, and it became the House of Chopped Meat at the end. Then it was Soup Bone Kitchen.
No, it didn't.
Soup Bone.
Is this true? I never know when he's telling me the truth, everybody.
No, but I did work the Steak Pit. Yeah. Harry James was visited more than any other. Harry James played there more than anybody else of the big, big names.
Wow.
Harry James, because he used to come up here for the horses, you know, mm-hmm. Harry James. And I'm not saying anything. He was a phenomenal trumpet. I don't have to tell. Look, I'm telling you.
No, you can tell me anything, Floyd.
But Harry James loved the horses.
Uh-huh.
Do you know who loved them even more than him? Uh-uh. Cab Calloway.
Oh, this I kind of knew.
You knew that?
Yes.
If you wanted to make a deal with Cab Calloway, you had to go to the racetrack. Meet me.
Well, I think everybody's good. You know, here's the thing. Now it's 10:08, which I hate, Floyd, because I want to spend the whole time with you, and let's have a really good time playing music. So I want you to choose a tune while I tell everybody you can purchase tickets to see Uncle Floyd and Pete Seeger and friends. The performance is Friday, November 30th. That's this Friday. And the concert, we don't understand why, is 10 minutes to 8. What is this?
Well,
TBS?
You know, John Dahl is John Dahl is in his own world, and I think because most people said start the show at 8, he doesn't go for. John Dahl is the last of the great rebels.
Okay, so anyway, I have a feeling if you walk in at, well, he's probably trying to get everybody seated by 8. So okay, so it says here Expo at 7 o'clock, concert 7:50. It happens at the Breslin Theater at Felician College, and you can log on to dullmusic.com to purchase tickets anytime you'd like. They're also for sale at Steve's Coin and Stamp Shop in Rutherford, New Jersey. And you can call them at 201-935-3737. Any other places to buy tickets that I don't know about, Floyd?
I don't know. Maybe Rutz Hut. I don't know.
Okay. Rutz Hut. If you want a fried hot dog and a ticket to Pete Seeger and friends. Okay. So also, this is an awareness concert for wetlands preservation. And there's going to be a pre-concert environmental expo, so you guys know that I am down with that, and to see a legend like Pete Seeger and like Uncle Floyd, not for nothing, who's been in the business. I remember the first time I heard about you, Floyd, and I don't think I'd hit puberty at the time, but you look amazing.
Well, you're
like an eternal guy.
The wetlands, the preservation, these people are really serious about this. This is, do you know that the largest cypress forest, no, cedar forest, not cypress, cedar trees were there in what is now the Meadowlands, and the Dutch knocked them all down. I don't know how they did it. They put them on boats and brought them back to Europe because that wood does not rot. Cedar, if you ever went into a cedar closet, you can't destroy them. And the roots are still down there in the water, but it was also the richest deposit of clay. There was clay all over the banks for making pottery. It was so important. It was called the, it was fascinating. The river people are fascinating. The Hudson River was called the First River. Mm-hmm. Then they didn't have a name for the Hackensack River. But the Passaic River was called the Second River. See, anything else you want to know?
You have me fascinated.
I just make this stuff up and people shake their heads. Wow, how smart is this guy? No, it's true, though.
I believe that. Give me a song, Floyd.
So how about number one on this?
All right, tell me about it.
Wingy Minone. I don't know if you knew it. You know, Wingy Minone, number one, Shoeshine Boy, which was a big... Louis Armstrong
number
had
one?
The biggest... Oh, number one. It was a great version. Wingy Minone was Soupy Sale's favorite musician of all time.
Huh.
That's right. Do you know Soupy Sale's real name? Milton Suppman. Soupy was a dear friend of mine, and he introduced me. He told me about, he said, Floyd, you got to, you know, had that Soupy had that way of talking, you know. You got to get into Wingy Minone. Wingy Minone. Yeah. One-armed trumpet player.
Soupy I grew up with. All right, you guys. You're tuned into Anything Goes. I'm Lisa Avery, hanging out with Uncle Floyd, who's doing a gig this Friday, November 30th, with Pete Seeger and friends. You can get tickets by logging onto dullmusic.com. And from Wingy Minone and his orchestra in 1936, here is Shoeshine Boy, courtesy of Uncle Floyd.
Oh, I ain't got no time for no autograph.
Well, let me shine those pretty shoes.
All right, I'll let you shine.
Say, Mr. Wingy, sing me a song while I shine away.
Now, Shoeshine Boy, you work hard all day. Shoeshine Boy, you ain't got no time to play. Every nickel helps a lot. So shine, Shoeshine Boy. Find joy in the things you do. Shoeshine Boy, you seldom ever blue. You content with what you've got, low. Shine, Shoeshine Boy. Now look at you. People look at you, it's gone, 'cause your clothes are worn and torn. But still you never whine. Oh, you chasing up and down the street, asking everyone you meet, brother, can you spare one shine? Oh, Shoeshine Boy, soon a tune you'll hum. Shoeshine Boy, soon your day will come. Every nickel helps a lot, so shine, Shoeshine Boy. Thank you.
10:14 is the time. That was Wingy Minone and his orchestra and Shoeshine Boy, as programmed by Uncle Floyd. And foolish me, I started to hand him back the liner notes, but I'm sure he doesn't need them because he is unbelievably knowledgeable. Tell us, Floyd, a little bit more about Wingy Minone.
I love Wingy Minone. I mean, Wingy Minone was that style, the Louis Armstrong school, as they called it. Him and Louis Prima and these kind of guys. Wingy was from New Orleans. I said it right, New Orleans,
yeah.
And at the end, though, in the 1950s, he switched over to strictly Dixieland, commercial Dixieland. That was the, you know, rage, which is beautiful, but this had the heart and soul of another era.
Well, lads got to make a living.
And you know who was one of my favorites, too? But I just picked up a stack when I left the house this morning. Early Bob Crosby, Bing Crosby's brother.
Yeah, yeah.
And he sang songs like Flowers for Madame and all that stuff in the mid-30s. Most underrated. But then he went Dixieland, too, because it had more commercial appeal. Al Hurt was really the king of that genre. Is that the right word?
Yeah, I think that's the guy.
Wow.
Al Hurt, king of the genre. Oh, I see.
Just so much to discover and learn.
Yeah, and the music, I mean, a musician, the life of a musician is still not easy. It wasn't easy then.
No,
so,
it's brutal. Were your people musical? Did you have musicians in your heritage, your family?
No.
Somewhere there must have been.
You got me. You got me. You know, I because we were just talking. Your people came from
Italy.
From, you said Calabria. My people came from mostly Russia, although some came from over from sort of East Germany, Poland kind of area. But they came a long, long time ago and.
Two of the biggest names in music, in American cultural music, came from Russia.
Lots of them, yeah.
Irving Berlin and Al Jolson.
Speaking of which, you've got Eddie Cantor there.
Oh, there's something here. I think it's very, very, it was very topical. I'm sorry, making too much noise?
I just want to tell everybody you're tuned into Anything Goes. I'm Lise Avery, hanging out with Uncle Floyd, and glad to have him here. I think we're going to have him here a lot more regularly, you guys. And just do want to tell you that the yays have it for Alice's Restaurant in the 11 o'clock hour. But do you know Lee Newman, Floyd?
Lee Newman.
Lee Newman is the grandson on one side of Eddie Cantor and the other Jimmy McHugh. And he looks just like Eddie Cantor.
This is the famous grandson I keep hearing about. He promotes Eddie Cantor, right?
He promotes Jimmy McHugh, yeah.
Because I used to run in at the late Danny Stiles.
Uh-huh.
I used to go to all his affairs and parties and this. And there was always Eddie Cantor people, Eddie Cantor's daughters at the end. I mean, going back a few years. And they would always say to me, don't you think Eddie Cantor was the greatest? And I would say, no, I like George Jessel better than Eddie Cantor. And they would... They would get very upset. And I said, I'm only joking, but I love Jessel. But Jessel. No, great Jessel. I couldn't wait to see him. He would come to Paramus, the Playhouse on the Mall, at George Jessel, and do these little shows. And he'd say, it's wonderful to be here in Paramus, New Jersey. And nobody would laugh. They thought he made it, but then he would keep hitting it, Paramus, to do a joke. And he was just a font of... He loved showbiz. But
Paramus.
Yeah, all those guys were... They were great personalities.
Unlike you.
No,
you've got no personality whatsoever.
No.
You have to tell us how you got into show business, because you've been in show business forever and ever and ever and ever.
We never went into it. My brothers and I are just the extension of our family.
So your brothers are both musicians, very respected
musicians, right? My father
played trumpet.
Okay. My father was a trumpet player. My mother was acted in her father's touring Italian theater group. You know, like you had the Yiddish theater in New York, you had the Italian theater as well. The Italian more or less traveled, though. Where the Yiddish had giant theaters on Second Avenue and acts as Boris Mashkovich, I don't remember some of the names, Aaron Lebedoff, they were tremendous stars. They were like the rock stars of the earth. The Italian theater more or less traveled. They traveled around, and he had a troupe, and he traveled. My mother as a kid was in that. And our family had the Plaza Ballroom in Patterson, my grandfather's cousin, Frankie Vivino.
Wow.
And he booked Louis Prima more than anybody in Patterson at the Plaza Ballroom. And I have cousins who were in showbiz, relatives. My uncle Nick played the accordion on top of his head in Italian vaudeville. That's not it. Don't laugh.
No,
that you
I'm
should
just
know
amazed.
Anybody who could do that today?
I am amazed. You come from like, a long line of showbiz royalty.
So
yeah.
It was no choice. Me and my brothers, we just went in. We're the last of the. Our kids won't do this, but they want to go to college and get normal work. I mean, regular. They're part of the real world. But the showbiz colony, most of us come from show people. Wow. The way farmers came from farmers.
Wow.
There's no difference.
Wow, amazing. It 10:19, you guys. I'm Lisa Avery hanging out with Uncle Floyd here on Anything Goes. And what have you got next for us, Floyd?
Put this on. Eddie Cantor, number 10. It's a very controversial number 10. I won't even say anything. It's from his radio show.
Controversial?
I love it. I think it's phenomenal. Number 10.
Okay.
Let them keep it over there.
Oh, wow.
You know what it is about?
I'm guessing.
It's very, very interesting
when
song.
When was it written? In the 1940s?
Probably about
so?
1940.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Wow.
But it's applicable to today.
Okay. Yeah, that's for sure. Okay. Track 10. And I do want to tell everybody one more time. I just want to mention to you, Floyd, that a gentleman named Euclid from Long Island City made sure he called me at about 9:05 this morning to let you know how much he has enjoyed your work over the years.
Well, I've enjoyed being on Euclid Avenue in Brooklyn.
Well, you know, everything...
All celebrities listen to you.
Everything I say is a leading line for Floyd. It's a straight line.
No,
all right, so we're going to get you a glass of water, and we're going to play If You Feel Like a War, Let Them Keep It Over There, and this is...
Eddie Cantor.
Eddie Cantor.
1940.
Eddie Cantor sings hits, his hits and rarities. Very cool. Neat album, Floyd.
It's short, though. It's a short piece.
Okay.
The dogs of war are growling, once more the papers say, and battle clouds are starting to appear. But if they try to drag us in, we'll say, please go away. We're minding our own business over here. If they feel like a war on some foreign shore, let them keep it over there. If some fools want to fight and things might make right, let them keep it over there. From coast to coast you'll hear a million mothers pray. Whatever happens, please don't send my boy away. We're for you, Uncle Sam, but stay out of that jam. Let them keep it over there. If they feel like a war on some foreign shore, let them keep it over there. If some fools want to fight and think might make right, let them keep it over there. From coast to coast you'll hear a million doughboys cheer. Our job is to protect our loved ones over here. With an ocean between, let us keep our hands clean. Let them keep it over there.
Wow, Eddie Cantor, circa 1940, we're imagining Uncle Floyd and I. Go ahead.
He was tremendous, and you know, it's very sad. Steve Allen, who was another a genius in his field, didn't get along with Eddie Cantor. He didn't like him. And he said, the problem with Eddie, Eddie Cantor sells yesterday. Well, that was a terrible thing to say. I don't think that's true. Eddie Cantor was yesterday who lived into today. He died young. He died in 1964.
Okay.
But he got sick around 1950. But he was a tremendous star, and his piercing voice was made to sing without a microphone. He was from the Jolson time, you know. He was a tremendous artist. And dance, and you can't really appreciate this artist today unless you get a hold of some of the Ziegfeld Follies. There's films of some of his, it was tremendous in Ziegfeld Follies. But unfortunately, you know, people don't... I just love digging this stuff up and having an opportunity to play that. Wasn't that something?
That
very
was amazing.
Emotional. Hear the audience applauding?
Well, yeah.
That's the American public applauding.
I'm sure half of the audience was just sitting there, though, right? That's the way the politics are.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well,
you got to figure, right? Half of them were applauding, and half of them were like,
Well, it could be taken either way, but... You know, the climate, in other words, everything changes, but nothing really does. But I loved Eddie Cantor.
That's very cool. I want to let everybody know about your outfit. Floyd is wearing...
Oh.
Wait, hold on a second.
What?
I did this with Sir James Galway, too.
Uh-oh.
It amazed me. He's wearing animal print pants. Now, what
it's
is
not
it?
Real animal, though.
No, I would imagine that. It's leopard, right?
It's
if you have leopard
black and gray, yeah.
Leopard, and he's wearing some lovely rhinestone earrings. and a very cool hat.
Cool.
Also with rhinestones. Is that for warmth?
No, those are diamonds.
Yeah, okay.
They're called summer diamonds.
Summer diamonds.
Well, summer diamonds and summer not.
Oh, speaking of which, tell me about your act. Now, you're going to be performing with Pete Seeger and friends on the 30th. Mm-hmm. And you've been Uncle Floyd for as long as, since you were born. I'm imagining you were popped out of your mother's womb as Uncle Floyd. And tell me how your act evolved and how it's changed over the years.
Well, to survive, you have to keep changing. I mean, but in essence, I'm still the same entertainer I always was. I don't get political on stage or anything. I poke a lot of fun at myself. And now, of course, there's only three themes in comedy: man against man against time, and man against nature. There's no other theme. And obviously, I'm man against time. I'm not... Not that I'm against it, but I can't even figure out the new dashboards in the cars anymore. I just can't figure it out. I don't even know how to do anything. I don't bother with anything. I live in my own world. I don't have all the phones and things ringing. You called me.
It's true.
You put it in my book. I'll be there 10 o'clock. I came here 9:30, said hello to the guys downstairs.
Yeah, absolutely. But you don't have a cell, do you?
No,
do you have
a
cell phone?
I don't bother with
it. It's true, you guys. He doesn't do email.
No,
you
I don't.
Website,
I don't. I refuse. I made a vow.
It.
I will never read an email for the rest of my life. Never. I don't like that somebody has the nerve, and it's all negative. Almost never got a positive. So I stopped reading them, and I says, why would anybody do this? So, and that you don't know who it is, and you can't tell by their penmanship. Listen to me. No one, even a typed letter had a feeling to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the coldness of the email, and the fact that. And I get hundreds a week. They just go in a garbage pail. Hundreds. Because I write for the Italian newspaper. I have an Italian radio show, plus the Uncle Floyd websites and things in that. 300-400 going to waste. I will die before... I never will read an email.
Wow.
Only because of the abuse that gives people the license to give you abuse. Why would I do this to myself? I don't need it, you know.
Smart.
I cut myself off from it. Yeah. I'd rather go learn how to pick wild mushrooms than some coward... send me a 3-page email about what's wrong with me. I just don't like it.
Well, I'm here to tell you there's nothing wrong with Uncle Floyd. I'm enjoying his company and so glad that you're here.
You're the only one who ever said that to me.
Stop it.
I'm sorry.
You're just confusing me. Okay. And I do want to mention to everybody, your Italian show, you and I were talking about it. We shared a radio affiliate for a while. WRTN, but now you're there and I'm not, because it's just all Italian on Sunday, right? And the rest of the week is something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's another whole, they call it a niche audience now.
Right.
We just called it an audience years ago, but there still is in the metropolitan New York area enough of people to support Italian shows on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're up against everything else too, and you know, people have satellite things from Europe now.
Oh, sure.
And everything keeps changing. But I offer them things that they can't find. I have a warehouse with over 250,000 Italian records. And I don't like to publicize that too much because then people call you, can you find me this, can you find me that? And I just don't have the time to handle.
It's true. I've gotten
I'm sure
requests
you go through
like
it.
That too, yeah.
Or they'll say, oh, Lisa, you got to get me this. It was my father or my grandfather or my brother's favorite song, or my mother used to sing this song. And they make you feel like 2 cents if you don't do it, right?
And you want to, but...
But every week they come in, every show, you know.
Right,
you
right.
understand.
So
that.
Tell everybody when it's on.
I'm allowed to say that? It's on the W... I'm on every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then I have my hand in the other... There's 3 more hours after me till 5 o'clock. So
wow.
We have,
well, and
as
and
we say in Italian, 6 ore insieme tutte le domeniche dalle 11 alle 5. Musica per tutti I gusti all'italiana.
What he said.
I just says...
Easy for you to say.
I don't know what I said. I'm saying it so...
Do you actually speak in Italian on your Italian show?
Io parlo italiano, sì, but I speak italiano spezzato because I was never in Italy. I never studied Italian. I was called Florio. My cousins called me Floyd and my family. But little by little, the Italians who called me Florio disappeared and the name Floyd stuck. So.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
But now ethnic names are back in. Ethnic names are in. But there was a time there where everybody got rid of them.
That's right. It was a melting pot, and everybody mm-hmm. was homogenizing.
I wanted my mother to be like the American mother. I used to beg her to make scrambled eggs like my friends' mothers make them, one color, yellow, and they're very thin. They sit on the dish nice and fluffy. My mother made eggs. My mother's eggs were 6 feet high, and inside were peas and mushrooms, potatoes, guacamole, patatas, frites.
Yum.
Now, we were ashamed to eat that. Now they call that quiche.
Yeah. Or frittata.
Frittata, all these fancy things. Look what they did to arugula. It's a weed in Italy.
Oh,
you can't
arugula.
Kill it. In this country, it's a delicacy, arugula. It's a weed in Italy.
You're tuned into Anything Goes. I'm Lisa Avery, hanging out with the inimitable Uncle Floyd. I want to say Mr. Uncle Floyd. That doesn't work.
How about Sir Uncle Floyd?
Sir, I like it.
Count Uncle Floyd.
I like that. Sir, no, Duke.
Duke
Uncle Floyd. He's going to be performing with Pete Seeger at the Breslin Theater at Felician College. You can get tickets by logging onto dullmusic.com. It happens this Friday, November 30th, at 10 minutes to 8. I've never had... That's just too weird for me. What else have you got, Floyd? Tell me some other music you've got.
Oh, I got a little mixture.
Flying.
I love Roy Hamilton. I don't know if you know too much
tell
about
us,
him.
Tell
he
us
was
more.
Born in Jersey City, New Jersey. Died very young. But his version of number two, You'll Never Walk you'll never, from Carousel, You'll Never Walk Alone, I think it's the most beautiful. It was a hit in 1954, but his voice was so pure. From Jersey City, New Jersey.
Wow.
And you don't hear enough of him on the radio anywhere anymore.
This is
he died in 1969, I believe. Yeah,
Roy
number
Hamilton.
Number two, right? Track number two.
Yeah. So
you told me not to bring any 78s. So
you'll break your back. Do you actually you spin 78s when you're
yeah,
doing your
we
Italian
have a special
show?
Needle. Yeah, we have a special needle.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. It's just about 10:31, hanging with Uncle Floyd, and all the music this hour programmed by Uncle Floyd. This is Roy Hamilton. The album is Golden Classics from 1991, so you might be able to find this still out on the web. And You'll Never Walk Alone from Carousel, here on Anything Goes.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. Storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of love.
right. ID the song, Floyd. Tell us.
That's Roy Hamilton. You'll Never Walk Alone. 1954, Epic Records. I have a trivia question for you, Lisa. I know you know so much about, but nobody ever answers this question.
Not
you want
as
to
much
take a chance?
You.
It's musical.
No, I'm horrified.
No, there's one singer that is still alive today who had the number one song in the United States in 1932. Now, it's a woman. She's still alive.
And she lives in England. And she had a hit record.
So.
You're sure?
She doesn't live in England. Who are you thinking? Hit record, 1932. You may have me beat here. Wait a minute. Now, I know, I'll give you a hint. She was became a television star after her. Obviously, she was a little girl in 1932.
Oh, no.
She was
I
a kid
you
girl.
Beat
Everybody says Shirley Temple, but no, it was not Shirley Temple. And I don't even know Shirley Temple Black. I don't even know offhand if she's... I don't even know if she's alive today, but this woman is alive. She had the number one song in America in 1932.
Oh, man.
Baby Rosemary. Rosemary from the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yes.
That's her.
Oh, you're kidding.
She had a song. Come out, wherever you are, up on the moon or under a star. Come out, come out, come out, wherever you are. Was it? Nobody
remember. Wow.
Nobody. Don't feel bad. Nobody got this.
But that's cool. That's very
nobody,
cool.
Even Joe Franklin, who said to me, "Big news, my friend." No.
Wow.
Even Professor Irwin Corey, who is 100, you realize he's 100?
Is he? Well,
yes, he lives on 34th Street. Well, that's terrible.
Well,
he's always
that was his act.
Right? He's still 100.
When he was 40, he was 100.
Unbelievable.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very cool.
See. You know, they learn things from me.
I know. Well, I knew that.
But
that's
Baby
why...
Rosemary was a big... She was a child star on the radio. Baby Rosemary. Okay. Big. And then, of course, the Dick Van Dyke Show is what brought her back into the mainstream. She lives in Manhattan, I think she's out in Vegas. I spoke to her on the phone not too
it's
long
too
ago.
It's too cold in Manhattan. Oh, I was thinking of Vera Lynn, who...
No.
Well, she is
not
still
1932,
alive.
But that's a good one. You might be close, but... Vera Lynn would have been, was how old is Vera Lynn? About 90?
I think she's beyond 90.
Beyond 90?
Yep, and she's still alive, and she had a hit record a couple of years ago. We played it here on Anything Goes, because her songs became hits again.
We'll Meet Again by Vera Lynn is one of the most emotional, stirring songs of 1945.
Mm-hmm.
The war was over for most people, but... We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Wow.
She was something.
Yeah. Well, I think she still is. As I said, she's not reclusive, or at least that was the last, I checked her out. Very, very
well,
cool.
Of the women, of those, you know who my favorite was? Well, all Martha Ray, but Sophie Tucker.
Oh, now, that's, wow.
Sophie Tucker was tremendous.
How did you become obsessed with this music, Uncle Floyd?
I'm a time traveler.
Yes.
I believe we know nothing about time. We know about Earth and the sun and snow, but we don't know anything about time. And I think there are definitely people who have traveled in time. I feel more comfortable with that music. I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... It just relax. I feel like I belong to that music.
Wow.
And I was known as putting on punk bands on my TV show for years.
I remember that.
Everybody thinks I'm an authority on punk rock. Well, I put those bands on because they had a spirit and they came on my show. The mainstream acts avoided me like the plague. They said, I'm not going on Uncle Floyd. But the Ramones and all these wild bands from that time came on.
Wow.
And I liked them because of their spirit. Musically, I didn't. I must be honest, and they know I was not really into that kind of music. I didn't really know it.
It's so interesting that your career, at least tell me if your career began before the Uncle Floyd show, because that was when you first sort of, okay, because you came to my attention.
I was a kid act, and then I started, I was in burlesque in 1969. I worked for Sammy Cohen. At the Follies Theater on 46th and Broadway. I traveled with the dying age of that, because Ann Corio had the big show. Corio's This Was Burlesque. And I'm talking about a cast of 18 people, chorus line, band, novelty acts. And it was very tame by today's standards. It was you know, like a real burlesque, not what they have now, lingerie shows. It's a total different thing.
How old were you?
18, 19, and I stayed there till I really got into Uncle Floyd was January of 74, okay. And I got out of burlesque in 76 because I couldn't go on the road anymore. I had to devote my time. I broke a contract in Boston at Pilgrim Theater. I says, I'm not going. Sue me. My pay was $250 a week at the time,
wow.
Which was a working man's wage, but I said, no, I'm going to stick with my Uncle Floyd show, this ridiculous show I started that it didn't help me, but it didn't hurt me in a way. I mean, you know.
There's an awful lot of people that know who you are because of the Uncle Floyd show. I'm one of them. I'm just sort of extrapolating.
But it kept me out of a lot of venues. I finished up at the Borgata, for example, uh-huh. This past week.
Yeah.
Now, the casinos would never use me when I was on television because they'd say, oh, this guy is strictly slapstick. And they throw pies, they got seltzer bottles, then he's playing a piano, then he's talking to a puppet. We can't have him. No, we don't want this.
Wow.
So when they don't know you, they book you. And then now the new bookers, they like me as a stand-up act there, and I play the Borgata. I'm booked there through the year 14. I got extended to 2 more years. So, you know, that's the business today.
Well, we know that you stay off of the internet, but you do have a website. Are all of your gigs
there's
posted?
All over it. No, they don't. But they don't. I don't bother with the internet. I don't. I know people say, "Oh, you're being antisocial." Well, there's still, no matter how much technology we have, we still only have 24 hours a day and 2 eyes and 2 ears if we're lucky. You can't do everything. If you're on the internet, I love to cook. For example, I love to cook.
Yeah,
and I love to cook and make things and even bring them to people who I know. You know, elderly people that are friends of mine.
Yeah.
That don't have time to make soup. You know good chicken soup?
Yeah, hey, I'm a good Jewish girl. Yes, I do.
Now, then, when you boil it, do you cook yourself?
Yes.
You keep the skin on when you boil it?
Yeah,
it
I do.
It gives it a nice flavor, right?
Yeah.
And my mother always said, take the skin off. I said, no, you can't do that.
You can't have low-fat chicken soup.
No, the Italians take the skin off, and then they put grated cheese on top of it because they give it the kick that the skin would have given it. Oh, I love to cook. I love to cook.
Cooking tips from Uncle Floyd. We're going to run out of time, and I hate that. And I'm Lisa Avery, hanging out with Uncle Floyd. If you want to hang out with Uncle Floyd and Pete Seeger and their friends, Friday, November 30th is the day. I have to keep doing this because otherwise John Dull will come after both of us with a bat. You realize that, right?
This is the most important show to John Dull of all time.
Well,
he had called me 38 times to tell me to make sure I'm here on time and make sure we have the correction of the theater being moved because he listens to you and so many of his followers do as well.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Well, I thought you were here because you loved me, Floyd.
I do. I love you. You're a wonderful artist and I love what you do, but it's so important to our show. That you spread the word amongst the people who care.
Consider it spread. It's spread. Good. It's spread. Okay. You can get your tickets anytime at dullmusic.com. And I imagine you can get them at the box office, although it's not the best possible way, at the Breslin Theater at Felician College in Lodi, you said, right?
Yeah, it's a beautiful theater. Really.
Okay. And this is an awareness concert for wetlands preservation because John Dull and I share that in common. We are environmentalists and Pete Seeger. And a very knowledgeable environmentalist is Uncle Floyd as well. He was telling me tales of the wetlands before.
Well, the rivers, the importance of rivers, people today most of them around here aren't even marked. The Peckman, the Saddle River, the Hackensack River, so on and so forth. They were the life support system for the new world here in this part of the country. You know, the brownstone in New York all came from, because of the rivers, it was mined out of the mountains on Route 46. You can still see it there. There's slates, if you could just pull it out, brownstone.
Wow.
They put that on the Passaic River. And they floated it down to Newark Bay, and then they went across to bring it to Manhattan and Brooklyn. The brownstone came from the river. In other words, the rivers were the artery that brought. They didn't have brownstone in Manhattan. They didn't dig that out of the. Brooklyn didn't come from Staten Island. It came from New Jersey.
He amazes me. I just want to say that. You know, I mean, there's Uncle Floyd, and then there's the man that's sitting in front of me.
Everybody amazes me.
You're a genius.
Governor Christie told me not to ever say this, but I asked him once at a big political banquet. No offense to all you politicians, but why isn't Route 1 finished yet? They found no humor in that.
And it
was called Route 1 because it was obviously the first highway. Otherwise, why would they call it Route Number 1? And they're still working on it.
That and the LIE.
Oh, that's another...
Let's not talk about it. Let's go, give us another song.
Oh, how about Louis Prima? You like Louis Prima?
Yes,
we didn't play Louis Prima.
Yeah, we had to play Louis Prima.
Number 13. It's called Worry Blues. Louis Prima was some people say he was the grandfather of rock and roll. I think that's stretching it a bit. But he was he did a lot of wild things in his day.
It was probably Louis Jordan more than
I agree with you. I agree with you totally. Louis Jordan, definitely. But Prima was his own man, his own little world. And when he got divorced from Keeley Smith, according to Nick Toshes, you know, Nick Toshes, the greatest writer of all time.
Uh-huh.
And Louis Prima didn't say anything at the divorce. And Keeley Smith's lawyer, they were taking this, they were taking that. And the judge says, well, Mr. Prima, what do you have to say? And he told everybody off in some words which we can't use in any language. And he left the courthouse. He walked out of the court.
Oh,
he was a character.
I heard he could be an SOB. Is that, I mean, did you meet him?
Oh, yeah, but he worked for my family. I had two relatives who worked with him in his orchestra. But he was like Desi Arnaz. In the aspect of they grew up, men were different, and men were allowed to prowl at night. As long as they came home and brought the money to the wife was supposed to accept it. And Desi Arnaz and Louis Prima had a lot in common that way. They chased the women at night.
Wow.
But he was a great artist.
And hanging out with Uncle Floyd here on Anything Goes, I'm Lise Avery, and here we have Louis Prima and Worry Blues, right,
yeah.
Floyd?
Yeah.
For you, as chosen for you, just for you. By Uncle Floyd.
Well, look out here, if it ain't Louis Prima, way up here in New York.
Why, hello there, Liver.
Boy, what's the matter with you? You look kind of down. Last time I saw you down home in New Orleans, you were really happy and gay.
Oh, I don't know what makes me feel that way.
I know what it is. It's them worry blues, boy, and you got them.
Oh, I never felt so blue. I don't know what to do. Seems to me I've got those worry blues. People pass me by. It makes me wonder why. Guess it's 'cause I've got those worry blues. Now I am just a dreamer, dreaming in despair. What's to be my future? No one seems to care. I never felt so blue. I don't know what to do. Seems to me I've got those worry blues.
Prima and the Worry Blues, and Floyd, you have to tell me the story. You have to tell everybody the story that you were just telling me about Louis Prima and the Joe Franklin Show.
Well, I saw what happened. I met his daughter Lena a few times, and she was curious at how her father died, because the mother, GMA owned it, didn't, you know, they went through a bad divorce and so on and so forth. But I saw it. Louis Prima was a guest on the Joe Franklin Show, which they used to tape around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 1:30 in the afternoon. And it was 1976. It was Louis' last album. No, there was one released afterwards, but the Angelina album. And he held up the LP, and there's a picture of his mother on the cover. And all of a sudden, Louis Prima, tears start coming down his cheek. And Joe Franklin said, ladies and gentlemen, Louis Prima, obviously, a little emotional here. It's a picture of his mother, and we'll be right back right after these words. When they came back after, we call it going to black, but after the commercials ran, they came back, and there was no Louis Prima on the panel. And I'm a big Prima nut, so I said, what the heck? Where did Louis Prima go? Well, Jack O'Brien was a columnist in the New York Post, I think, all over the, you know, big newspaper columnist, and he wrote about it the next day, because they got the story in by the deadline, that Louis had suffered a stroke and went into a coma, and he went to the hospital. He lived in a coma for almost 2 years, a little more than 2 years. And they asked the fans to try to help out pay the, because the bills were astounding. I mean, you couldn't. Wow. And I sent in some money, and they sent me an ashtray from his Fairway to the Stars. But I loved Louis Prima. I thought he was a tremendous star. I mean,
that's amazing. So even yeah. Louis Prima, because that happens to a lot of musicians, I think, more than people realize. Woody Herman. Also,
you mean dying on stage? Or?
No, actually, I mean their medical bills.
Oh, the medical bill. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They just don't have enough money when they get older.
Tiny Tim told me, when I used to work with Tiny Tim, he dropped dead right at his last show. He was on stage in Milwaukee.
Wow.
He took a bow, he thanked the audience, and he fell off the stage, and that was it. No doctors, no medical bills.
Wow.
And it's sad to say, as you get older, you get tougher. You have to, or you don't survive. We become tougher, and you say that's a... In Italian, they used to say, you have to have luck even when you die. Not to suffer. That's what it boils down to.
That's
Boy,
true.
We really change a lot of subjects here.
Hey, this is an eclectic mix of just about everything. And you're hanging out with Lise Avery and Uncle Floyd here on Anything Goes. And I'm hoping Uncle Floyd will come back here more frequently. But I'll tell you why he's here today. It's because he's doing a gig this coming Friday, November 30th, at the Breslin Theater at Felician College. It's an awareness concert for wetlands preservation. And Uncle Floyd will be there. Pete Seeger will be there. John Dull and friends will be there. And you can get your very own tickets, which are very reasonably priced, by logging on to dullmusic.com. That's easy enough to remember, and it's spelled just as you would imagine, dullmusic.com. If you're in Rutherford, you can stop at Steve's Coin and Stamp Shop on Franklin Place, and they are selling the tickets as well. What else you got, Floyd? Tell me more.
You like Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald? Yeah, no, they're you're going to hear this. You're going to love them.
Teach me.
Will You Remember from Maytime, number 11 on this?
I'm not educated in the ways of...
Oh, no,
I can just sing
number 11. These are artists. Well, Indian Love Call, when I'm calling you, of course,
yes.
that was their... But this is their second biggest hit. It was 1938, and they were tremendous stage singers.
Which track do you want, Floyd?
11.
Number 11. Will You Remember?
Will You Remember from Maytime. Oh, I think it's 1936 or 38. I can't recall.
No, I think you had it right. It says 1936.
It was 36. Okay.
See, that's the difference, guys. Floyd just knows this stuff off the top of his head. Oh, my Lord. You humble me, sir. All right. It is Jeanette McDonald and
Nelson Eddy.
This says Nelson Eddy and Rose Marie.
No, that's the name of the show, Rose Marie.
Oh, okay. From
Not Baby
Maytime,
Rose Marie. No,
Jeanette McDonald. I was confused. It's all moving so quickly.
Rosemary.
You're on Anything Goes.
You're a good student.
Well, love is so sweet in the springtime, when blossoms are fragrant in May. No years that are coming can bring time to make me forget, dear, this day.
I love you in ninth grade December,
the same as I love you today. My heart ever young will remember the thrill it knew.
That day
Tell us what are you laughing at, Floyd?
You brought up Bill Bojangles Robinson.
I did, yes, because we were talking about running backwards.
He was a phenomenal, not only a great artist, but he was he owned a baseball, Negro League baseball teams.
Yeah,
the reason I'm bringing that up, there's a stadium in Paterson, New Jersey. There's only two Negro League baseball. I imagine everybody knows, but some people don't know, baseball wasn't integrated until 1947 with Jackie Robinson. It was still a segregated thing.
I hope everybody knows that.
Yeah, but the Negro Leagues were very big, and in Paterson, they had the Hinchcliffe Stadium, which had the teams. The New York Black Yankees played there, and Bill Robinson came there, and Satchel Paige. It was a lot of history. But my point is, they're trying to save that stadium now as a historical document to that era, which is gone. But when you mention him, that lights up my brain. It was wonderful. I never met him.
No.
Oh, no, but I mean, he would dance on top of Yankee Stadium on the dugout. Yeah.
Do you glean all of this information that's in your brain by reading, watching old movies?
I read three books at a time. I am a sick reader.
Uh-huh.
I only buy used books at libraries, and you know, for 50 cents, a book that was $35 now is 50 cents
because
somebody touched it. So somebody touched it, it's worth nothing. And but the problem is, I'm weak on. I never saw Dancing with Stars, so I'm out of the American culture. I don't know the.
Never seen it either.
I never saw it, and I really don't care.
No.
This is what disturbs me. I don't care. I don't know one Lady Gaga song. I don't know it. I don't know it.
It's hard to avoid, actually, if you put the radio on. But when you're driving,
well, have
in
you
your
played
car,
her lately?
No, Lady Gaga doesn't need to be played on anything. Goes. She's doing just fine without me.
Now, really,
Louis Armstrong. You know, he needs a little more help.
I saw his last appearance on television as well. This is weird today. It was on a Merv Griffin show when he came out. Three notes for his Sleepy Time. Then he goes Sleepy Time Down South. Bomp, 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 and he put the trumpet out. He says, "I can't." And more, I can't. It was after his lip surgery, after they reoperated on his lip. He died in 1971.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what a...
Oh, Floyd.
These people did more for human civilization than they get the credit for.
Floyd, you have to come back.
I'll be back. You call me. I'll always, without John Dahl getting involved.
Yeah, will you come back? Because this is so much fun, and I know I can feel that the listeners want you to come back. So,
and I won't wear my leopard pants. I'll wear my zebra pants next time.
Hey, any fashion statement you want to make,
okay,
baby.
Okay, cool.
I do want to remind everybody, this Friday, November 30th, the Breslin Theater at Felician College, see Uncle Floyd, Pete Seeger, and a whole bunch of other great people. Log on to dullmusic.com for more information, and even more importantly, perhaps it's an awareness concert for wetlands preservation, and there's a whole environmental expo before the concert, so arrive early at 7 o'clock so you can check that stuff out. I'm going to hold that. I'm going to hold you to this, Floyd.
Call me at time,
this
least,
is
you know.
Too much.
You got my number.
Okay. All right, you guys. Well, I'm on Facebook and I'm on email. So email me and I'm gonna print them and send them to Floyd because you know they're going to be love letters because these are my peeps.
Well, then maybe I'll read those.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. Well, here's one from me to you. Thank you, Floyd.
Thank you.
Have a great gig. And you guys on the other side of the 11 o'clock boop, the yays have it. Alice's Restaurant will be filling the airwaves for 18 whole minutes. And we're going to be giving you a chance to win a whole lot of tickets, including I've got tickets for Peter and the Starcatcher and Forbidden Broadway. So stick around.
Hi, I'm John Mazzulla, the host of VA Healthcare Advantage. Tune into VA Healthcare Advantage this Sunday morning at 8:30 for information about VA healthcare services available to veterans residing in the metropolitan New York, New Jersey area. That's this Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. Please join us.
Hi, I'm Diane Korzynski from Paul's Motors Volvo. Music America on WFDU TNEC is underwritten by a grant from Paul's Motors Sales and Service Incorporated. Paul's is located at 990 Goffle Road in Hawthorne, New Jersey. On the web at www.paulsvolvo.com. Our telephone number at Paul's is 973-427-5777. Paul's Motors urges you to drive safely and keep listening to Music America on WFDU TNEC.
Rock the Harvest. The 2012 Rockers Against Hunger concert is happening on Thursday, November 29th at the Park Ridge Marriott in Park Ridge, New Jersey. VSB, Sidebar, Mojo Workin', Marion and the Marionettes, the Raphael Orsini Band, Greg DeBerry and the Usual Suspects, and many more will take part in this one-of-a-kind performance to benefit Pascack Valley Meals on Wheels. That's Rock the Harvest, Thursday, November 29th at the Park Ridge Marriott in Park Ridge, New Jersey. For more information, the website is rockandrelief.weebly.com. That's rock, the letter N, relief.weebly.com. As part of the Pete and Tashi Seeger Wetlands Preservation Concert Series, Uncle Floyd and John Dull present Pete Seeger and Friends. It's a night of great music featuring Tony Trischka, RJ Storm and Old School, Spook Handy, Loretta Hagen, the Dull Music Band, and banjos and honky-tonk piano galore. The concert has been relocated from its previously announced venue to the beautiful Breslin Theater, 246 South Main Street in Lodi, New Jersey. The theater is on the campus of Felician College. That's Pete Seeger and Friends, Friday, November 30th at the Breslin Theater in Lodi, New Jersey, on the campus of Felician College. For more information, the website is dullmusic.com.